From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show, the Dugout Podcast. We're in Major League Baseball mode, playoff baseball, the ALDS, NLDS. We're going to talk some Yankees. We have no time to spare, man. Let's get right into it. Let's bring on Greg from Bronx Bomber News. Greg, what's going on, man? How's everything?
Hey, everybody. How you doing?
Nothing much, man. And also, let's bring on Suzanne from Bleeding Yankee Blue. That would be at Susie Prof. Susie Prof 1 on Instagram as well. Suzanne, how you doing?
Hey, how are you? Happy playoffs. So excited
Happy
to be
playoffs.
Here tonight. And
I am excited. And, I'm excited to have all you guys
more.
On. I am excited to have you on. We should. The reason why we're doing it now, because you know this game started at 8:40, so this game ain't going to end until like 3 o'clock in the morning, so we got to get this out the way. So let's get right into it. I mean, Greg, let's lead off with you, man. I mean, what impressed you through games one and two? You know, I had Paxton start. He gave up the solo home runs to Polanco and Nelson Cruz. But outside of that, was very effective. I'm just going through it as far as I can at the top of my head. Having Brett Gardner in the three-hole with a big home run in game one. We had Didi with the big grand slam in game two. I mean, let's go through everything as fast as you can, and then we'll go to Suzanne.
I think the top thing is the patience at the plate. You know, I knew the Yankees have, as far as pitching goes, I think the Yankees have better pitching and the bullpen is stronger. The only question was the Twins going to be able to outslug or slug with them? And, you know, the Yankees bullpen has answered that. The bullpen says no. You know, the Yankees bullpen shut them down. And but the patience at the plate, the Yankees' patience, that first game they had them throw 197 pitches wasn't much different 2 days ago. I think the Yankees have shown a lot of discipline laying off those sliders low and away. And you can see at the plate, their at-bats are much, much better than the Twins. The Twins looked a little shell-shocked up there, but I'm not gonna bury them because now they're home for a couple of games and anything can happen. But I just like the Yankees starters have been better. Their bullpen has been much better, and the quality at bats. And getting Didi off the snide, that was a great thing. You know, that little bleeder down the third baseline, little cue ball, and then hitting the big grand slam, that gets him off the slump. And let's see if we can get Gary out of the slump today.
All right, cool. Let's go to Suzanne. What's your thoughts through games one and two?
Well, I am so disappointed that the Yankees continue to play Giancarlo Stanton. I hate to be the downer of the group, but I am so aggravated, and he is in the lineup again tonight. So I agree with everything Greg said about the patience at the plate. Even I give him credit for having patience at the plate. But he can't field, and he's a liability in the field, and he's a liability at the plate. He's just not playing well, and I keep hearing the announcer saying, he's not there yet, he's not – you know, he hasn't only played a few games this season. He's not there. Yeah, and I don't think he's seen the ball. I actually was with my son out at a local drinking hole, if you will, on Saturday watching the game, and one of his friends leaned over to me and said, Suzanne, do you think he needs glasses? Like, he just doesn't look engaged or like he's not seeing the ball well and whatever. I think he just is a liability. If I were the Twins, I'd pull every ball to left field. Because he can't see the ball come off the bat, and maybe he does use glasses. Who the heck knows? As far as seeing people unload and really like being able to hit the ball well, I mean, Brett Gardner is pounding the ball. I think he's terrific in the three spot. I just wrote about that in yesterday's piece about, you know, looking at the takeaways from the ALDS game, and just like loving Brett in that third spot. And, like, Judge kind of saying, all right, you don't want to pitch to me, you can pitch to Brett. You know, it's like every guy that gets up has the potential to just literally smash the ball and break any game open. Even Eddie Encarnacion coming off, you know, the DL, just just motoring, you know, he's smashing the ball, and it's just really exciting to see. It's an exciting series, and I agree with Greg. I think the pitching has been really incredible, you know, and I think there's a zero tolerance policy in place for Boone. If the guy doesn't have it, he's going to go to the next guy in, which I think is really smart at this point. And Hap did a really nice job out of the bullpen the other day, and it's just showing you the depth of pitching that we have on this team. So, I mean, I am really interested to see if we can kind of close the door tonight. I'm thrilled to see Tampa Bay take a game from the Astros earlier this evening. And we'll just have to wait and see how we you know, kind of put it together tonight. But I like the playbook that we're you know, moving from and using to kind of be, you know, I think be like kind of strategic in the way that we're using our players. And honestly, it's the only thing that's great about, like, you know, Boone sort of saying zero tolerance. At least he's putting, you know, Nathan in like later in the innings, like sixth or seventh inning, knowing that we can't afford to be in a situation to give up, you know, a run. And, you know, seeing Maven in there makes me feel a little bit more secure. But I think he should be starting, quite frankly. But it's been a great series so far, and we'll, you know, I'd be curious. I mean, if I could throw a question out, I mean, do you think Giancarlo Stanton should be playing in the lineup? Did he earn a spot in the lineup? Not because we talked about this too before.
Oh, yeah.
It's like seeing it and like living it, and like every time, like my teeth are cringing when I see him, like when I see a ball hit, you know, to that side of the field, I'm like, you know, dying. So anyway, do you think he should be playing?
Absolutely not. You already know my answer, Suzanne. We've been on this for weeks, months.
Yeah.
We've seen this storm coming from a mile away. We talked about this all season since the All-Star break, because we knew this was going to be, we call it business politics. We call it for the fact that guy's making that much money. And we already had this other guy named Jacoby Ellsbury making that much money. We couldn't have both of those contracts sitting on the pine. So somebody has to play, and it's going to be Giancarlo Stanton, unfortunately, because we don't cut the checks. We are the fans. The fans are more logical than the office, the front office on this. We know who should be playing. This is about rhythm, man. I mean, when I look at this lineup and compare it to 2017 and 18, we have balance. This is the best balanced lineup since this thing has been put together with this core of individuals. And this all starts with DJ LeMahieu. We talked about this, all of us, you, Greg, and Suzanne, we talked about this in spring training, right before the start of the regular season, as far as leadoff skills and who's going to set the tone. But that conversation at the time was about Troy Tulowitzki and Torres, guys like that, Andujar. Those guys, I mean, outside of Torres, I mean, as far as the depth, DJ LeMahieu has set the tone pretty much all season. And we are so blessed to have him at the leadoff spot. And the fact that we have the leadoff spot is the luxury that you can plug him in any place in the infield. And the reason why Luke Voit is not on the 25-man roster is a guy like DJ LeMahieu, because when Luke Voit was struggling down the stretch, that was the case. Does he make it? Does he not make it? Whatever. Does he play? Does he not start? You have the defensive infield, and Suzanne, you already know, you are a big Gio Urshela guy. I've got onto the bandwagon kind of late. I'm convinced. I followed Drew Lee, Suzanne, and Greg. I was kind of late on that wagon. But him at third, DD at short. Oh, I know. Oh, yeah, I know. And at second, at Torres and LeMahieu at first. But Stanton, as far as the outfield, I mean, he only played, 18, 20 games. It's not enough. Like, this sport is a rhythm sport. You have to be in rhythm. And the fact that he's where he's at in the lineup, that's really got me scratching my head. Like, why? Like, I would say he's an automatic out, but I don't feel too confident. But I'll give you this, and it goes back to Greg's point. All those guys, and for the most part, Stan included, because he's I don't know, maybe it's the quality of the pitches that Minnesota's throwing at us. They're actually picking up the pitch really well and laying off the off-speed stuff off the plate. I'll give Stan that. He's been, you know, strikeout prone throughout, you know, last year off those type of pitches. But to answer your question, Susan, I do not. No, I want Maven out there starting. You know, he's earned that. You know, we know Aaron Hicks has gone through his injuries. We, you know, if he wasn't in there and Mike Topman was available, he would be in there, in my opinion, because of that left-handed bat. but staying by default because of the contract, because of the business politics. I also let me ask both of you, and Greg, if you can answer Suzanne's question about as far as Stan, what about, see, there was one thing that did kind of bother me, and I think Boone got away with it. He kind of went Joe Girardi with the bullpen. He was really like Ottavino came in it real early, and then he went to Kent Conley, but it did work out. I didn't know if that was the right move. Were you okay with? I'm asking both of you guys that question as far as the order of the bullpen after Paxton on game one. Were you cool with that? Yeah, I know it worked out, but I mean, it's easier to second guess if it didn't.
Yeah, we knew going into the playoffs because of the last couple of years that these pitchers are only going to go two times through the order. And then once you get into the third time through the order, unless you're really, you know, pitching well or there's a big lead, the Yankees are going to their bullpen. And that's just how it's been the last couple of years in the playoffs. Ottavino, you know, he's been kind of hit and miss throughout the end of the season. I think that's what, you know, gives us a little pause when he comes into the game. He has done well, but then there's times, you know, he's especially towards the end of the year. But I knew this was going to be the type of baseball played in October, and the other teams are doing it too. Last night, though, I thought the Dodgers with Joe Kelly, I was shocked Roberts left him in that long, but most teams would not have done that. But they had an 8-2 lead. But I'm okay with, you know, Boone's decisions as long as they work out. You know, I mean, we can always second guess him, but as long as they work out, and right now they've worked out. But we knew going in, you know, two times through the order, and that third time there's somebody warming up ready to go in, whether it's Ottavino, Kingley. You know, at this point, those are the two guys it looks like they're going to go to in the fifth, sixth innings, and then, you know, go from there. But as far as Giancarlo, yeah, it's politics. Politics are involved, and if Mike Tauchman was – I think if Tauchman was healthy, we wouldn't be having this conversation. I think Giancarlo would be Luke Voit right now. He would be the odd man out. I thought Tauchman – I like Cameron Maben and at what he brings. I'm glad they're bringing him in late defensively. Giancarlo does look like he looks really stiff out there. Ideally, if you're going to – have a guy like that in your lineup, the best thing to do with Giancarlo is, you know, bat him sixth, bat him seventh, and have him DH. But then that eliminates Encarnacion, so that wouldn't work. So, you know, with that much money, they're going to play him. Like you said, politics. I really do. I think next year, I think the Yankees will shop him, you know, see what's out there. I don't know what they're going to get, a dollar value in return if they decide to deal him or try to deal him. But he's a DH. And the one thing I'll say about Giancarlo right now, at least he's passing the baton. He's not trying to do it all himself. He's got a lot to prove to the fans the last year and all of this year. He didn't do much. He's passing the baton. He's not trying to, you know, do too much. He's not swinging it, you know, pitches in the other batter's box. So I'll give him that. I know it's early. We're two games into this. But right now, he hasn't done – I guess he's been a kind of a, you know, an even Steven kind of thing. He hasn't done anything bad. He hasn't done anything good. So, except, you know, I'll give him the walks. That's about it.
Oh, okay. You got any questions, Greg, for Suzanne and myself? Or?
What do you guys think of Severino tonight? What do you think? You know, he's been there before. Severino, this is the third year in a row, so I know, you know, he struggled the first against when the Twins the first time and then the A's last year. How do you think he'll do?
All right, let's go to Suzanne.
Well, I have to correct both of you guys first. Luke Voit is on the roster, so he beat Mike Ford, and I really thought Mike Ford should have gotten the slot. And I know that he hasn't played, and I wouldn't put him in. I mean, you've got DJ LeMay who can play a terrific first base. And to your point, Steve, you don't take the bat out of Eddie's hand.
No way.
So you have him play. No way. You know, so clearly that is, you know, key. To answer Greg's question, I was at the game where Severino basically blew it in that wild card game. Luckily, Chad Green came in and bailed him out. Yeah, I mean, I actually thought, and I don't remember, Steve, if you asked me, people were asking me who I thought would have started game one, and I actually thought it was going to be Severino. I didn't think they were going to start Paxton. I actually thought Paxton would have pitched the second game, and I would have thrown Masahiro tonight. But with that said, I'm optimistic. I liked what I saw with Severino, his first two outings. I think with Severino, I mean, he tends to fatigue. And since he didn't play a whole season, obviously, coming in towards the end of the season, I think he's healthy, and I think he is not expected to pitch a ton of innings. And so, you know, if he can have some control over the first few innings, he usually gets better with time. I think he gets the jitters the first inning or so. But I saw him, like, really just, like, choke in that game against the Twins a couple of years ago, and it broke my heart to see him out there like that. I hope he's strong tonight. I really do. It could go either way, really. When it comes down to it. And Steve, you asked a question, and I'm blanking on what that was.
My question it was more about Boone. Did you like the order that he went in game one with the? I was kind of surprised. What was your thoughts?
With the pitching, yeah.
Right.
So
right.
I kind of alluded to the fact that I kind of felt like it was going to be zero tolerance with the bullpen, and I guess maybe he saw things that he didn't like. And I was kind of surprised at first, but I do remember him saying, like, we've got depth, we have zero tolerance here, and we're going to do what we need to do. Yeah, and when you said Girardi, I started to get the shakes for a second, because I never liked what he was doing out there, you know, playing the odds and all that nonsense. I think, you know, with the shift and everything else today, I think that kind of goes by the wayside. But I will say that I agree with zero tolerance, but I also always get concerned about, you know, using your pitchers too early and you know, kind of like trying to do too much too early with the bullpen. But also, I want to see people get in trouble and then not be able to have enough innings to get back. You can't fall asleep on the Minnesota Twins. As much as I feel like we're the dominant team here, you cannot fall asleep on the Twins. I mean, clearly – they can hit the ball, and now they're home in front of their home crowd here, who they've this is a stadium where they root this team. They, you know, I was in Minnesota this summer, and I mean, you know, they support this team. This home team has got a lot of fan camaraderie around this team. So, I mean, clearly that, you know, they're at an advantage for being at home tonight. The Yankees just have to get ahead early. Sevy has to pitch a good couple of innings to kind of get us jump started, and it's got to be zero tolerance. I mean, if I were the Twins, I'd hit every ball to left field, because I think he does not belong in that lineup. And I would have played Maben. And you're right. I mean, honestly, if we could have had at full strength and had Talkman in the lineup, that would have been very interesting. I think they would have carried him on that lineup, and it would have been very interesting to see. But again, you don't take the bat out of Eddie's hand. He is really hitting the ball. And don't forget, don't underestimate the fact that Mike Ford is on the bench, and seeing him get off the bench and be productive has been really exciting. You know, I live one town over from Princeton, so seeing that guy get up and do some damage has been, you know, absolutely incredible. My son saw him play up in Syracuse this year when he was playing against the Syracuse Mets, when he was, you know, playing for the Rail Riders. And he, like, screamed out to him. He's like, Ford, we need you up in the Bronx. And he went back and tipped his hat to my son. He's a nice guy who I think, you know, adds a lot of value to the team. So I was upset that he, you know, he didn't make that roster. But I guess my question to you guys are mm-hmm. – you know, essentially, when you look at this season and you see how guys have stepped up and been productive, did you ever think that Brett Gardner could have had the season that he had this year?
I'm going to say no. I did not see this coming. Well, no, offensively, I did not see this coming. But let's get Jimmy on the question, and then I'll answer it again. We'll go back to Greg. Jimmy, we're bringing you into the dialogue. We got Greg. We got Suzanne. What's your thoughts, man, as far as games one and two? We were talking about Boone and his decisions with the pitching, and your thoughts on Stanton in lineup, and your thoughts on game three with Severino. How you doing, sir?
Oh, man. I'm doing good, man. I think you know, game one and two was really good. You know, Paxton was a little bit shaky, but you know he got out of it, and then the offense woke up, man. And as far as my thoughts tonight, man, it's really easy. We gotta get our early lead, and you know, get our early lead, and if Severino comes out and he's the good Severino, you know, that we've been seeing the last couple of years, I think we'll be in good shape. You know, and Tanaka did really good though. Tanaka did really good the last game. So overall, I really think our pitching has proven that they can do well against the Twins. So I'm not really worried, man. I think we're gonna take them. You know, as far as Stanton goes, I think Stanton is gonna come around. You know, everybody takes a while to get going. So I'm not worried about him. I just have to see how it goes, man. I'm ready to beat the Twins tonight, man. Go Yankees!
All right, shout out to Jimmy. Can you answer Suzanne's question about Brett Gardner? Did you see this coming out of him this season?
No, I didn't honestly. I mean, I thought it was gonna be like a little bit of a down year for him. I didn't expect him to play the way he's been playing, man. But I'm really excited about Brett Gardner, especially with his defense. You know, we knew he wasn't really a big offensive guy, but what he's been able to do on defense has been crazy. So I mean, if he can keep that up, having an extra guy on defense doesn't hurt.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we know with Gardner, defensively, we know he's a reliable glove. I mean, we all know this. I mean, this is like preaching to the choir to you guys, but left field or center field, as a utility outfielder, put him anywhere. Remember, he started off the season batting in a leadoff spot, and then he dropped him down as low as 6th and 7th, sometimes as low as 8. But to see him in the third hole is because he's been tearing the ball so crazy in September. I'm shocked that they did it, or so I'm not shocked. I'm surprised that they did it. It caught me off guard. But the fact that he delivered with the big home run in game one, I mean, I think the analytics saw it coming before I did. So I said on social media, the analytics 1, Steve Azul 0. It got me on that one with Brett Gardner in the 3-hole. But glad to see it, though. I want to go back to DJ LeMahieu, and Greg, if you could answer Suzanne's question as well. DJ LeMahieu, we all saw the drop at first base, because, you know, I think we have a great defensive infielders across the diamond. So when he dropped that ball, I thought we were in for a long night, man. I'm going to go with 2 points. I'm going to pass this off to you, Greg. But I thought we were in for a long night. But the fact that he came back and delivered at the plate, the way he did, man. It's the art of the leadoff role. It's something we have not had since the Jeter teams. You know, I mean, we went through that whole stretch. You know, a lot of those years with Jacoby Ellsbury when he had the big contract, him and Gardner were at the top of the league. But at those times, those Yankees teams, we were trying to get off those bad contracts, the Teixeiras, the A-Rods. This guy coming in for the cheat and delivering the way he has doing it and playing in all parts of the infield has been. And then the big home runs, man, the big hits, the setting the tone, leading off. I'm just so happy to have this guy on our team, man. I mean, it's like we almost take it for granted all those years. The other DJ, number two, what he used to do all those years, especially in the playoffs, to have this guy has just been remarkable. And also, going back, I think you said about Encarnacion, man. I mean, he's been ripping the ball too, man. I think and Suzanne, if you could spin on this when it's your turn, He looks like he's playing off the crowd. Like, he gets on, he's smiling, the crowd sees it. It's just fun to watch him in pinstripes. I know he was a terror on these other teams for years with Blue Jays, Indians, so on and so forth. But, Greg, your thoughts as far as Suzanne's question, and then if anything else you want to add as far as Severino and versus Odorizzo as far as game three. What's your thoughts?
Well, you know, out here on the West Coast, a lot of times you watch the, you know, the West Coast teams after the Yankees game. So DJ LeMahieu is exactly who he is. That's what he was doing with the Rockies. The thing with the Rockies is they weren't very good. So, you know, they didn't have the pitching. They didn't have the bullpen. They're playing out in Coors Field. So DJ has always been, you know, I remember when the Yankees signed him and, you know, that he was going to be that rotating around. We wasn't sure what was going to happen with Didi. We didn't know when he was going to come in. So I thought, you know, they're going to move Glaber to short, DJ will play second. I always thought, you know, I thought Andujar was going to start at third, but at some point, you know, there was going to be some questions there. But LeMahieu, he's legit. This is the same guy he was in Colorado, but you're playing in Colorado where everybody's scoring, you know, 10, 12 runs a game. As far as defensively, he's a gold glover, knew that. So I'm not really surprised. I'm surprised, that he's able to do it at Yankee Stadium because it is a fishbowl. It is a, you know, the fans are different here. The expectations are higher. And he's come in and he's thrived. And he's, you know, he's like I said, he's the backbone of the team. As far as Brett Gardner, you know, I think, Steve, I think you and I talked about this when we first talked, man. We both thought Brett Gardner was, you know, might not be re-signed. 250, 300 at-bats, maybe fourth outfielder type. Somebody gets hurt, fills in here, fills in there. I just, you know, he's proved us, you know, I guess would prove a lot of people wrong. He's figured out how to get past August, September, and to keep playing at a high level. And I think that's the difference this year than in years past, where he's learned somehow, whether it's a diet or just, you know, mental attitude, he doesn't melt in August and September anymore, or at least not this year. And the difference in his play is that, because he used to melt in August. August, September, you know, he would look tired, his bat was late, and now here we are. It's like he's kicked it up a notch, he's figured it out. And it might be late in his career figuring it out. But, I mean, yeah. I can see Brett Gardner, if he wants, you know, I can see Brett Gardner playing a couple more years with the Yankees. As long as, you know, he's not going to ask for the moon, I can see Brett Gardner playing a couple more years. Even if he falls into that fourth outfielder, you know how the Yankees are. I think they can move Stanton towards the DH and play Gardner, Tauchman. I don't know if Maben will be back next year, but, you know, I really like how Brett Gardner has pushed through this year and changed the perception of his late seasons, because this is the first time in years that he's actually had a really good late part of the year. And he's got the team on his back. You know, him and LeMahieu, you could say Judge, you know, Judge is a leader too, but Brett Gardner, he's the heart of the team.
Right on, right on. Any other questions or thoughts for Suzanne or Jimmy?
Jimmy, how's it going, bud?
Good, man. I'm ready to
So, you know, I think Minnesota, you know, you got their home crowd's going to be, you know, they're going to be gripping. The Yankees jump out to an early lead, they're going to be gripping big time. What do you think? Do you think the crowd's going to play a factor in tonight's game, Jimmy?
Yeah, I think they're going to play a huge factor, especially if Minnesota gets on the board early. So, like, what I think we have to do is silence the crowd. And the way to do that is we have to, even if they strike first, we gotta tie it up right away. Tie it up or take the lead. That's what we gotta do. That's the way we're gonna win this thing. We gotta get them out of it.
Yep, I agree.
All right, cool. Suzanne, anything else you'd like to add on tonight's game or anything else as far as, like, Greg's question as far as the crowd from Minnesota? Because I know Yankee fans kind of got the brunt of some criticism, but I don't think it was bad at all, man. I mean, as far as us fans in the stands, I don't care if the guy was a former Uber driver. You make those players uncomfortable as possible without physical altercation. If you could get into these players' heads mentally, that's all good with me. What's your thoughts, Suzanne, as far as the Yankee fans and fans getting into it as far as with the players trying to throw them off their game, and your thoughts on tonight's game as far as Odorizzi and the Minnesota lineup at home?
Well, I mean, first of all, I've always said that DJ LeMahieu should be batting first. If you recall way back, we could go back to the recording. I said it. I said this guy should be batting first. He needs as many at-bats as we can give him. He is going to be lethal as a leadoff, and he absolutely was. And I agree with Greg, and I've always felt that the heart and soul of this Yankee team has been Brett Gardner. He plays with such grit and such passion and devotion to this game. They don't make guys like him anymore. And, you know, my kids grew up watching him, and I've always told my son who played baseball all the way up until Legion and then college ball, I said, this is the kind of guy that I want you to be, the guy that gets out on the field. He's the first one out of the field and the last one off the field. He powers everybody up. I mean, there was a lot of criticism about him, you know, kind of like showing his temper. But, I mean, ultimately, I mean, the guy has charged everybody up. He's the reason why they're the savages, really. And I don't think we would have gotten here if it wasn't for him. And even just like his banter in the dugout this season. I mean, this nonsense with, you know, the Twins and, the nonsense about, it's crap with the Uber driver, and it's just ridiculous. Like, the Yankees should not take their eyes off the prize, really.
Yep.
I mean, you have to focus. Do not listen in. I think one of the things when you become a Yankee, it's like you become part of a legacy. And I was listening to Buck Showalter talk, and I kind of like him as the, you know, the third announcer, if you will. I mean, he could step into some shoes next season if there's some movement in the broadcast booth. But I liked what he said about when you become a Yankee, you become part of a legacy, and how they spend the first – you know, few weeks as when you come to spring training, learning how to become a Yankee and how to keep your eye on the prize and stay focused and stay and dress like a Yankee and carry yourself like a Yankee. I mean, this nonsense is ridiculous. If that's all they have, you know, kind of like trying to like put some bad publicity out there for the Yankees or trying to keep them away from, you know, what they should be doing out there. I mean, even the freaking Twins. Like, seriously, like, focus on what's going on in the field. None of this other stuff. Don't feed into it. The honest to God truth is we're out here to play baseball, to move your team ahead and focus. And the other thing that I've been aggravated about, to be honest with you, is the Twins talking about Michael Pineda. And when Pineda was on the team, you know, they would be in much better shape and the Yankees would be able to touch it. Are you out of your mind? We dumped that guy because he was a piece of junk several years ago. So, like, don't tell me that the factor of Pineda is the reason why you're at a deficit. That's just ridiculous. I'll tell you what, I am watching them wave the flag out in the stadium because the coverage is coming on now. And I'm just like, good. You root for your team. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're rooting for your team. I really hope they were rooting for Tampa Bay back at the Trop, even though I don't like them. They're such disruptors. I hope they were rooting for them and the game was sold out. Because at the end of the day, you should be rooting for your home team, but the Yankees should be able to come to any stadium at any time with fan support and take any game that they want because they have the depth, they have the power, they have the passion. And you know what? They are certainly the ones that the critics and the scouts were certainly, you know, given the upper hand. So, and let's not even forget the other guy that really disrupted the lineup over the last couple of games, and that's Didi Gregorius, probably the one that is, you know, the least the least apt to toot his own horn. He has done something pretty incredible over the last several years since stepping into Derek Jeter's shoes, and this nonsense of them not wanting to re-sign him, or you know that he's not all you know that's cracked up to be. That's really ridiculous. He is another guy that's been the heart and soul of this Yankee ball club. So yeah, that's where I stand. And that grand slam, just you know, it's like I knew he was going to hit it. I you know, because he gets up in these key situations and he never lets us down. So kudos to Didi and the rest of the team for you know really doing something pretty magical, because no one thought that they would even have the depth to rebound from those injuries and be where they are right now.
Right on, right on. Let's get some final thoughts because we got a game to watch. Shout outs to everybody on here. Jimmy, let's get some final thoughts for you on game three in the series. If you want to say anything on the rest of the playoffs, feel free, and then we'll get to Greg and Susan and we'll wrap up.
All right, man. Well, my thoughts are simple. Like I said early on, you know, get the crowd out of it, get an early lead, and good luck tonight. Let's finish them off, and then focus on Houston, man. That's what it's all about, you know. And as far as the whole Uber thing, I mean, hey, they could say whatever they want as long as they're not throwing bottles or hurting anybody. Hey, that's fine. That's fine, man. But hey, hoping for a good game tonight, man. And go Yankees. Let's finish him.
Go Yankees. Shout out to Jimmy. Thank you very much, sir. And Greg, Bronx Bomber News, please. Final thoughts from you, and then we'll go to Susie.
Well, quickly with the Uber thing, you know, that's been a thing over the years in sports. You know, New York sports. Remember Daryl, when he was in the Mets. Larry with Chipper Jones, calling him by his real name, not Chipper. So, you know, fans are going to be fans. And, you know, I applaud the guy for the way he stuck with baseball, and he had to make a living. That's fine. I don't think anybody's – I think it's more – it's not Yankee fans or the Yankee – I think this is outside people, more Mets fans, Red Sox fans. And then you want to flame it a little bit with you know, with Major League Baseball, they're kind of, you know, the New York Post writing stuff. Yeah, you know, it's baseball. Yeah, you go to any soccer game and, you know, it's worse. You go to football games, he's a bum, you know, that whole thing. So it's kind of a non-story. And, I think Jimmy's right. The Yankees need to, you know, the moment, not too big. Go into Minnesota. They won there before. They played in that park. There's nothing new. They know what they need to do. They got a really good pitcher on the mound with ace-type stuff. Hopefully the moment's not too big for him. It shouldn't be. It's game three now, not game one. And let's, you know, jump out early or, you know, keep it close because you know the bullpen is our strength. Keep it close, and then you got plenty of guys in that lineup that could, you know, do damage. Plenty of guys in that lineup that could win a game for us. So I'd like to see the Yankees jump out early and get a lead, and then watch Minnesota start gripping. You can look at their faces. They were defeated game two. They were shell-shocked. They looked like they wanted to go home already. And so now they're home. Now they can, you know, the Yankees come out and sweep them. That's what they got to do. Just keep playing like they did the first two games, and they're going to be fine.
Bronx Bomber News, that is Greg, man. Coach Greg, man, thank you very much for your thoughts, man, and coming back on the Dugout Podcast with the Savages in the Stands. Suzanne, final thoughts from you with Bleeding Yankee Blue at Susie Pro. Final thoughts.
Yeah, I think I'd like to see the Yankees sweep this. I didn't say that a lot this season. I always said, win the series. You know what? I think they need to make a statement and just shut the door at this point and close this whole thing down and give the guys a break, get themselves reset, and let them hang out a little bit and see if Tampa Bay can disrupt again tomorrow, and then with it, you know, that would be really, really interesting to see what's going to happen. I did hear that Verlander needs to sit out a little bit. I don't know what's going on, but good. That's fine with me. Let him sit out a little bit. And I honestly, like, I'd like to see Severino, as Greg said, and I said earlier, get out early, get a lot of first pitch strikes, make a statement and just dominate and then let the Yankee bats fly away. But it's going to be loud here tonight, and I think the Yankees are ready for it. They were bred for this, and let's just take it home, boys.
All right, Bleeding Yankee Blue, the Bleeding Yankee Blue, the Blog Spot with Susie Prof. Thank you very much. We are out of time. Enjoy the game. It's probably going to go to like 2 o'clock in the morning. That's not even included extra innings. So we'll be back next Monday to talk more playoff baseball, man. I'm enjoying all the playoffs, man, the National League.
Yeah.
American League, we saw what the Rays did today. Like you said, the Braves game today versus the Cardinals was excellent. That was a fun game. Yo, enjoy the games, guys. We'll be
game
on. Man, see you on social media, Twitter, Facebook, and this episode on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, Stitcher apps, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify for the Millennials, Sangria Soon, Bleed Blue. Enjoy the games, ladies.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue.